Good morning. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here. I thank God for the opportunity, traveling mercies, to get here. My name is Usman Kamara, and I'm here with my wife, Barbara Kamara. We've been married for 26 years. We have two children. One of our sons, he's in West Virginia, plays football, and yesterday they have a senior day recognition. So I'm caught between either coming to do ministry or go see my son, you know. So we have to decide, okay, we go to West Virginia, see him play. Oh, actually, he's not playing anymore. He's now the assistant director for player relations. He was part of the team, and he got injured. He has his MBA. He finished last year, graduate, and the team employed him to stay. So they want to honor them. They asked that the seniors that graduated in 2020 because of COVID to come and get honored yesterday. So, and he said, "Dad, I know you got to go preach, but Dad, could you come?" I said, "Okay." So we went there, and we left there like 7:30 from West Virginia to here, 6.5 hours. So we have to drive down, and we got here at 2:30 in the morning. Yeah. The things you do for Christ, right? But it's an honor and a privilege to be here. I've always wanted to come and meet with you all and share with you guys and just remind you of our mandate. We have a mandate from God in Matthew 28, right? To go into all the world, right? And make disciples, right? Amen. Teaching, obey, teach them to obey what he has commanded us, right? Our goal, that's our mandate. So today, our topic will be the importance of missions, or why should the church have a mission-mindedness? All right? The importance of mission and why the church should be mission-minded. A mission keeps you on track. It gives you a goal. When you're on a mission, you're on a mission to accomplish something. Now, I will presume all of us here are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. Are we? We've experienced the three miracles. We've been recreated. We've been reconciled. And we have a right standing with God. Is that true? So if we have all these three miracles which God has done for us freely, we didn't earn it. We didn't do anything to get it. It's out of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave. All right? So he gave us those three miracles. Today we can sing the song, "Hallelujah, praise the one that set me free." Right? We can sing that song, we can be happy. But there are 7 billion people in the world. 7 billion, if the math is right. Maybe 5% or 2% of that are Christians. Now do the math. And we got Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, animists, we got ones that are not saved, don't experience this hallelujah. They didn't experience that. But they hide with being a Muslim, a Buddhist, or animist, and they're not saved. But our command is to go and make disciples. Our charge is to go and represent him. I always say we believers have two responsibilities. Two. If you don't do anything in this world, do this too. All right? God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We have to reconcile creation back to him. And he has made us ambassadors to represent him right here on earth. So those are our two charges. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We have to go into all the world and reconcile people back to God. And we have to represent him while we're here. I learned at a very early age in Africa, they said, "Why did God made me? God made me to know him, to love him, to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him." As a little kid, I learned that. Who made you? I said, "God made me." Why did God made you? God made me to know him, to love him, to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him. That's why we are created. And the real significance of life is what you do for others. If you want to know how your life is very important, try serving others. The duration of your life doesn't matter. It's the donation of it. It's not how long you live. It's how you live. Your charge is to go into the world and make disciples, teaching them to obey what he has commanded us. So today I just come to remind you. Now, we can put that picture. I'm going to tell you a little bit about ministry, but I got to give you that little reminder, you know, of why we're here as a church, why we are called, what we're supposed to be doing. All right? I'll leave you with 7 questions when I'm done to let you think. Okay? So, I mean, audio guys, if you can help me with roll some of the pictures and you can, I can tell you a little bit about ministry. Now, those are the guys planting rice. That's agriculture. Now, areas, education, ministry, Sierra Leone missions and development. We're involved in 4 areas, education, medical, agriculture, and leadership development. Our main goal is to bring help, hope, and healing to humanity. We bring the message of hope. All right, so we deal with agriculture. In agriculture, we plant rice. People got to eat. We're about to go get some food, right? So I won't keep you long. Anyway, so we do agriculture where we plant rice and peanut, and we have farmers that we give them seeds to plant so they can become self-sustaining. You know, sometimes they don't have the seed to plant. So we come and plant big farms and give them those seeds. And when they plant, they harvest, they give us back what we gave them with a little bit of interest that we can expand to other farmers. So they can come back and get more loan in seeds, or they can take their seed now and start their own. It's just like going to the bank and have a loan to start a business, right? So we're trying to free them from that burden of poverty by allowing them to be farmers, which they do naturally. So we do farming. Also, we do schools. We have a school. We started a school in 2004. My wife and I went to Sierra Leone, and we saw the community. They don't have a school. Education is very powerful. My people perish for lack of knowledge. We have to educate people, and especially the younger ones. We got to train them in the way they should go, so when they get old, they won't depart from it. Is that true? So we started a school. Now, we got some schools here in the U.S., that sometimes after maybe 10, 15 years, they go out of their school stuff. They want to throw it in the landfills. They'll throw it in the landfills, and I'll pick them up and put them in a container and ship them over. And these are, we just ship a container, 2 40-foot containers. Each container will cost about $8,000. But we load them with all the stuff that should be thrown in the landfills, and people in the villages in Africa will sit comfortably and get their education. Because when we went, they were sitting on rocks, on blocks. And then I come in the U.S., I see chairs. I say, Lord, how can I connect the resources to the need? So I'm like the middleman, bringing help, hope, and healing in the name of Jesus. So we pick this stuff up, put it in a container, ship it over there. We give it to churches. Some churches don't have chairs. They sit on benches or little. So when they get that, they say, hallelujah, where this came from? From the landfills. No, anyway, that's the abundance of America. We have it so much we can throw it away. But I come to remind you that God has blessed this nation to be a blessing to other nations. We are not just saved to sit on our seats and get good every Sunday and go home. No, we are saved to make disciples. We are saved to serve. All right? So we do education. You can roll that. And that's the Jesus Film Project. In the evening, we will get all the villagers to come out outdoor and do like a drive-by movie, right? We'll put the Jesus film up on a screen, and they'll put the chairs out, and they sit outside outdoor, watch the Jesus film, get some coffee, and while fellowshipping. So we have the Jesus Film Project as well, wherein we go to villages and show the Jesus film, and after the film, we can ask for salvation, ask for prayer, and have people get saved. All right? You can roll it. Oh, you're familiar with that face. That's like a resemblance. That's Kendra's sister. If you've never met her, that's Katrina. She's serving with me. She's over there now. She's over there. She's building the next generation. She has about 15 kids that she teaches. All right? She's investing her life into that nation. and serving there. And then she does Education Saves Life, which is like little medical teachings, like about how to do hygiene, how to brush your teeth right, how to clean your body. You know, you will be amazed, little things like that, people in remote villages don't know. So we got Katrina, she put the video on about how to prevent malaria, maybe 10 minutes, and then talk to them about taking care of their bodies, how to clean their mouth, how to, you know. So she's doing that, ministering to them, and then having children. She has about 15 of them that she do school, homeschool. All right? And she always said to me, Usman, I don't know if I'm making a difference. And I said, I don't know how to explain to you the impact you're making, but I am a product of what you're doing. There is a old military guy, probably dead and gone, from North Carolina. His name is O'Keefe. He was a retired military man. He went to Africa when I was a little boy. Mr. O'Keefe, I used to run after him, just hold his hand. As a little African kid, with maybe tattered pants, you know, don't have no clothes on. You know, some of you have experienced missions. You got the little dirty-looking kid running after you, right? Allow them to touch you. I always tell the missionaries when they go with me, I say, allow them to touch you. They say, why? I say, that was me. That was me. Because I'll go home and tell them, man, the white guy touched my hand. I have a new friend. I have a new friend. His name is Mr. O'Keefe. He was a big American dude, big guy. I was a little guy. You just want to hold his, you know, wherever he went in the village, I followed him. But he made an impact because he went to the village, talked to my grandpa to build a church. You can roll the pictures. They built a church in our village. And I was a little kid. I was part of that crew. I said, my picture would be in some church in America. I didn't even know where that as a little African kid, you know. But so, I mean, Katrina is over there now. Look at that. That's Hope. That's her daughter. Hope is there. Hope is international Hope, I call her. Because she can speak three languages now. And normally when I go and visit them, when she wants to confuse her mom, she talked to me the local language. And Katrina looked at me like, what did she say? I said, I don't know. You got to learn. She is so vast. She eats in everybody's house. Hope, it's familiar. All the kids there in the village, Hope will be in another village. You know, and Katrina said, I don't see Hope. I said, Hope is all right. Kids will mix very easy. She has become acculturated in that nation. She knows. We went to immigration. This is Sarah Hope. Went to an immigration. They were interviewing her. What are you doing in Sierra Leone? When she starts speaking the language, the immigration officer is like, I don't even know that village that you're talking about. Because she describes everything, how to get there, what transport to take, what junction you get down off, which village is near, everything. And speak it in Creole. So the people are like, man, stamp her passport. You know, just give her maybe a honorary citizen or something. Because, you know, that's what we do. Okay, you can roll that. Just let it keep on rolling. And that's the swamp where we plant the rice. All right. Keep rolling. Oh, that's a baby warmer. A baby warmer. A machine. That was being thrown away. And that's a baby crib. And that's like a, this is all medical equipment. All right. The hospitals here throw things away. I picked it up, put it in a container, sent it to Africa. We don't have baby warmers. People are dying. Babies are dying. That was going in the trash. All right? So we do that as well. Medically, we get equipment from the U.S. that hospitals are throwing away. Oh, this is old. We don't want this. We like it in Africa. It's new. All right? Yeah. I mean, so we do computers. We do medical equipment. We send them over. We supply the hospitals over there, different remote villages. So this was just a supply of baby warmers that we give. That's her. See that? The machine. Good. It works. But it's old for the U.S. because they have new technologies. We didn't have none. So I need that warmer. So it's in a hospital now, in a United Methodist Hospital in Abo. It's another district. All right? So that was donated by Project Kill. Some of you maybe have heard of Project Kill. They're out of Colorado. All they do is supply medical equipment all over the world. So they donated 3 40-foot containers to us in Sierra Leone. And I make sure most of the hospital get those equipment. All right? So that part of our ministry. Let it keep rolling. All right. That lady was excited. Oh, that's Hannah. Hannah is, again, another young adult in our church that volunteered 6 months with me in Africa. And she was heading the Jesus Film Project. So she was with our team there. That's two pastors, and Philip and Hannah. She just came back, and she's heading another team to go back in October. She was serving with Katrina over there. That's Hannah. Go ahead, roll it. All right. Oh, that's up. Now, that truck, that's Kendra's dad's, Lloyd's truck. Okay. Lloyd, I work with Lloyd when I'm in the U.S. Lloyd had that called, we call it a Hubba Hubba. Hubba Hubba can load everything. All right. So Lloyd said, Uzma, I don't need Hubba Hubba no more. I got a new Ford. I said, I need Hubba Hubba. So when Hubba Hubba gets to Sierra Leone, that's what we do. When we load the school materials, the medical equipment, everything to supply the different churches, different hospitals. So we call him Hubba Hubba. He's still in the family. Yeah. Go ahead. Roll it. All right. Now, that's, you see those sanitary pads. We deal with young girls and women. Okay. We have a group of women in our church in Pennsylvania that makes sanitary pads. And we ship them over, and we donate the blankets, the sanitary pads to pregnant women and lactate mothers. The young girls will not go to school when they're in their menstrual because of sanitary pads. We have women that are ministering to them, teaching them, and giving them sanitary pads. It saves them money because some don't have money to buy the pads. Those pads are reusable. They can use it for 2 years. They wash it, dry it, use it again. So it allows them to go to school. They don't skip school because they have the pads. And also it helps them hygienically. So we have that ministry as well. We deal with young adults, young girls, young women. And then when you have, there's one time I went to the hospital. I love to visit the hospital on Christmas. They have 29 babies born that day. So each baby got a baby blanket. Women make hats, baby blankets, and we just donate to them as well. All right? Those are some of the medical equipment as well that we're giving out. I believe those are masks or something, because we give out hundreds of masks. All right? Roll it again. Yeah, that's the baby's newborn. Get a blanket wrapped up, and it's set. Yeah. All right. Let it roll. Oh, we deal with the sick as well. Now, hernia kills a lot of people because of the way they work. They work very hard to get hernia. And with hernia, when it ruptures in your belly, you're dead. It takes $100 to do a hernia surgery in Sierra Leone. Okay? $100. And you can't even buy a Panadol here in the U.S. with $100. But we do a lot of hernia surgeries. We help a lot, hundreds of them. They work so hard and they get their hernia, so we're able to help them out. So that's what we do in medical as well. And then in medical, I take doctors and nurses to Sierra Leone every year. We got friends that volunteer. We got doctors that volunteer. So every year, we'll take them to Sierra Leone. We'll go minister free medicine, free. All right? So that's part of our ministry as well. So we have the education. We have the medical. We have the women and the young adults, the girls. And then also we have leadership training where we take pastors. That's where Lloyd comes in. But Lloyd and Dan and all the other guys, they will go in and we train pastors, train leaders, you know, in the nation. Our goal is to reach the whole nation. But I'm here today just to tell you a little bit about what we do. We do a whole lot. I wear a lot of hats, okay? But there are people in place that can do it, okay? We just come in with the resource or come in with the mindset of making a difference, and we allow people to do it. You can keep rolling the thing. Katrina, like I say, is there. She's served 2 years now in Hope. They're there in Sierra Leone. They are based there. Let me see. That's her with her children. That's her. You see, that's Kendra's sister. She's up in the village with all her children. Yeah, keep rolling it, and I'll finish soon. Let's see what Jesus said to us in the book of Acts, right? Chapter 1, verse 8. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria. Now, where is your Jerusalem? right here. So you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. The uttermost is all over the world. Like I said, 7 billion people. All right? Charity begins at home. You start right here and you launched out. But I want to remind you as a church to be mission-minded. That's your mandate. That's why we are created. We're not just saved for heaven, but we are to do ministry right here on earth while we're waiting to go to heaven. All right? There are many people that will not sing that song we just sang. And it's our place to go witness to them and let them know that we have a Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a bridge. We do bridge constructions as well, cardboard. You know, little. When it rains and heavy, that place gets so flooded, it cuts the village away from hospitals, from schools. And one time, they got this Ebola. When Ebola came to Sierra Leone, people died in that village because it was raining. They cannot cross to go get help. So when I went one time, they asked me, Usman, could you build us a bridge, please? So we build a bridge. All right? So we do community development as well. We look for a need and fill it and find a hurt and heal it. All right? So I want to give you those charges. When you go around at work, at your neighborhood, wherever, just be conscious. There are needs. There are hurts. Be Jesus' representative right here on earth to look for a need and fill the need and find a hurt and heal the hurt. God created all humanity, every one of us. The Muslims, he created them. The Buddhists, the animists, he created all of them. And are you praying for them? Are you praying that somebody witness to them? Are you praying that one day they will be transformed by the renewing of their minds so they won't have all this evil thoughts to do evil to humanity? Now, September 11, yesterday, we remember the people that lost their lives in this nation. Some were so innocent. They didn't do anything. They don't deserve it. They were going to work. They were just passing by. It could have been any one of us. But because of evil. So we got a train. That's some kids I was ministering to. There was a disaster fire. 3,000 affected. And I was in the country. We were able to feed them, teach them, train them. You pick them up when they're young. You train them. You care for them. Train them up in the way they should go so when they get old, they will not depart from that training. They will not be bombers. They will not be indoctrinated to believe that when they kill people, they go to heaven. Let's pray for them. Let's reach out to them. We are called to go. There's evil in this world. But we have a God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or imagine. He can use each and every one of us if we're willing. Your availability will give God the opportunity to work a miracle through you. Make yourself available so God can use you for his kingdom building. These are some of my crew, some of the guys that work with us. Those are the pregnant women that are getting all the stuff that I just talked about. But make yourself available to go out there and bring help, hope, and healing to people's lives. Again, I want to charge you because we got to eat, so I got to stop. That I was going to, that's a school. I was visiting a school in a remote village. Look at what they sit on. Now look at what was thrown in the landfills. Ah, I'm going to replace that with that. That's what I do. I see the need. I see the resource. See that? These are pastors receiving chairs for their churches and desks and chairs for their schools. Now imagine that school you just saw and this desk and chairs. So sometimes I'm burdened when I come to the U.S. and I see the resources being thrown away and I go over there and I see the need. I say, God, please help me to connect the resource to the need. So we should be about that where we see needs and we have the resource. And we just make the connection and God gets the praise. Because we are his ambassadors right here on earth. All right? Again, I just want to remind you of that. Let me leave you with these 7 questions you have to think about. All right? What's your attitude towards those who are lost? What's your attitude towards those who are lost? Have you asked yourself lately? Because of what they do. They won't know better because they don't do better because they don't know better. They do what they know. All right? As believers, it's what? Do we have a broken heart when we see the world and what's going on? Do we have a broken heart for them, for their lostness? Do you give until it hurts that they may become saved? You know, sometimes my wife is so graceful. My garage is like a warehouse. She called me. She said, "You can't take everything. You're making this house turn like a warehouse." I said, "Please, I'll take care of it. I'll get it out of there." And then when it gets out of there, it gets over to the destination. I took a picture and sent it. I said, "Now you see why I was trying to do that." Because I can see, God has gifted me to be a visionary. I can see the end from the beginning. And that's a burden when you be a visionary. Because I can see the end product of where those chairs, those desks, those hospital equipment, this clothing will go. And I'm excited already for the people that are going to receive it. But it didn't get there yet. So when they come to the house, like, "We got all this stuff packed. You got to get them out of here. We got to ship them." Those are computers. I've given over 2,000 computers in schools in Africa. Computers. We don't have computers as well. All right? Barbara said, "Where are we going to put them? We don't have no more room." I said, "I'll make room." And you know what? I kid you not. God gives me strength to pick up those stuff. I just said, "Lord Jesus, they need it. I see it. I don't want to cry. I'm going to lift it. And I'll pack that stuff. And then when it gets over there, I'll give it to them with a smile in my heart, knowing what I went through to get it here." And they will be celebrating, thanking God. And sometimes I say, "Barbara, so you don't know how that makes you feel when you're part of the solution. Not part of the problem. You're part of the solution." You know, we have so much in abundance in this nation. And there are people that are lacking clothing, clothing, clothing. You go to remote villages, people don't have clothes. And I go to the thrift store or just walk down the street on a Saturday on a yard sale, 50 cents. At 50 cents, a quarter. Just take all of it. I said, "Really? Yeah, just take all of it." And I have the burden now. How am I going to get it home? All right? But anyway, so we got computers. We give schools don't have computers. And now computer age, we're going into computer age. So they need to learn computers. There is a ministry in Mechanicsburg that will require these computers and give it to me for $10. Each computer, $10. Yeah. They set up a whole ministry, the Christian church. I said, "You set up, just repair it." So we got businesses. "We're done with these computers. We don't want it. We'll load them up to Mission Central. Mission Central got technical guys. They come in there, repair it. Usman, $10. I'll buy them. It's worth more than $10. Just the screen alone is worth more than $10. So we'll buy them and ship them over and supply schools. Now we got hundreds of schools, kids in Africa get familiar with the internet. All right? Just roll it. Is that the last one? Okay. Now the other question. Are you prepared if God calls you to go? Are you prepared if God calls you to go and bring hope? He can. Caleb, how old was Caleb? He was an old man, right? Don't say, "Well, I'm old, I can't do." No, no, no. God can call you. And if he calls you, obey and go. If you cannot go because of physical restraint, you can give resources to help somebody who is going. You are still going to that person. All right? Now, what are you doing to accelerate missionary advancement in countries? These are personal questions I want you to ask yourself. What are you doing about what's going on in the world? All right? What are you doing about it? Are you praying for it? Are you involving your family in it? Are you training your kids to take on that call or that charge, that command? Are you involved as a church? I've heard it. You guys are involved. Is the church zealous for reaching the lost? Are we zealous for reaching the lost? Not only across the seas, but right here in our neighborhood. Charity begins at home. Right here, down the street. Let's be intentional about living our charge. Let's look for a need and fill it, and find a hurt and heal it. For God's sake, we've been given two tasks: to reconcile the world to God and to be His ambassadors right here on earth. Hey, I thank you all for listening. God bless you, and hope and pray that the words that you've heard today, you take good measure about it and able to utilize it. All right? God bless you. Thank you for the opportunity.